It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what was made. But I have to love that the words to that song, indescribable. Now, so I'm not going to try to describe it, but when I ask a family up here, this place more than not this place, but it's hard. Turn it up if you can. Go through. Can you hold him up? I mean, all right. She'll forget. That you had here. Second thing I noticed was how precious she was. Did anyone not notice that? Did any of you not see the Creator's hand in the story and the life that He creates within a family? Can you see it? It's hard to see without experiencing it just by looking at it. Now we'll let you sit down, but thanks for coming out. But you want to tell us the salient details? What's that? When she was born, her name. When she was Scripture, it says that the created works of God show us there is a God. In the interest of time, I won't read you a quote from Cicero or Plato, but they had quotes where they said when they looked at creation, they could not help but see the Creator's hand. It's that sense of beginning that comes from God, our first essence, as we read. And so if we look at the mountains or the skies at night or in the morning, we behold that there is a Creator. And the moment it's setting up, so we realize that not to behold God is because we choose not to. Not because God didn't make God clear.
origin. Story and history are a great deal alike. And our father Emerson said that there is no history, only biography. Another famous fellow said, all history is narrative. In fact, when you were younger, you had memorized all of those dates. You didn't like it. But many of you remember the good stories of history. And our stories are rich and they bless us. And Chesterton said, history, and a story like this, is a hill or a high point of vantage from which people see the town in which they live or the age in which they are. Our stories cross the ear of God. And the problem comes, as it says in Romans 4, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. For a story to have meaning for us, we have to have a sense of experiencing that story. We have to have a sense, if we want the fullest of it from God, we need to have a sense of how God is in that story. And we need to have a sense of thanksgiving for the God who is in that story. And out of that, a sense of purpose. Now, Jesus, when he was around, he looked and they said, why do you teach us in parables, all these stories? And one of the high-quality principles, so that it would sound impressive, and Jesus kept telling them stories. And he said, therefore, I speak to you in parables because seeing you see not, hearing you hear not, and neither do you understand. And the story is ultimately part of our story. We begin to understand it. It told the people in parables, but literally the word parable speaks of to be placed beside, to be placed alongside. And as we hear a story, we begin to hear our story. Even with a fisherman, I see someone with a big fish. At the least, I consider, maybe someday, I will catch the big fish. Or maybe I think of how much joy there was in that person. So when we see a story, we begin to experience it. It's how we learn. It's not sufficient just to listen to a story. We learn that people experience them in listening. A business leader who was trying to make the case for why stories are so important said they're the flight simulators of the brain. Stories are the flight simulators of the brain. And what they do is, as we look at a story, we think of how I would deal with it if it happened. Or we remember how we dealt with it. With it when something like that happened. When IBM, years back, got an executive, a CEO, to turn him around, at the first meeting, all of his management underneath of him came with all sorts of PowerPoints. And they were all going to explain, because he said the function was to look at the company as they started. Then he forbid them to show anything. And he said, just tell us how it works. And from that, they shifted into a culture of stories, and it facilitated their culture. In Jesus, we get this sense of how God is placed beside us in the story, how an earthly story becomes a heavenly one. Have any of you ever read Guideposts? Or do you remember it? It used to be out in one of the SPL script. And there were stories of how people overcame difficulties. And it was really hard to read a guidepost story without feeling made this story with the occurrence. Now, once upon a time, they did a couple of special forms. One was on marriage. And it talked about people that were struggling in their marriages and how they overcame the problem to save their marriages. When we came upon that one, you know what happened? I ordered some for my church, and we sold out. And I ordered some more for my church, and we sold out. And I kept ordering them until I stopped praying. They also had one on grief, and it was people dealing with the losses in their lives. And I would give that to people who were struggling. And when they heard the stories of others and how people drew the comfort of God, it was a guidepost. It was a sense of purpose that leads in a direction and it made it happen. Reading again another business fellow. There's a whole bunch of books now on stories, by the way. You have to have a story that tells all of this stuff. But a true thing is one of these fellows said, your story is your life. Your story is your life. And as we do that, it's how we see others and how we see their story as part of ours. We become a community. As one business guy said, it was story reality. Story reality is to realize that a story is made up of lived stories. It takes on a greater reality when we live the story. At Sunday school, in the kickoff, I mentioned to the people there how the characters in the story that we esteem. Think of the characters in a story that bless you or encourage you. Those characters, whether it was a story mom or dad said or a teacher or we read it, those characters help to form our character. They not only inform our character and inform it, they affect the character of our families. They affect the character of our families. Now, we're going to go on a journey and look at stories galore. And the Word of God and their stories, where the characters are formed by the creative or redemptive power of God that animates them and makes them come alive and enables them to experience God in new ways. As we do that, some of these stories, we say, oh, wow, I know just how that person felt. But some of them will be sad stories of the struggle of Job. Each of these stories will begin to experience how God is made available to us and through us to our families. Well, I said, when you do that, let's start with my telling you a story to close. A long time ago, the person who loved me most in the world, the person who loved me most in the world, even though I didn't deserve that love, was about to die painfully, shamefully, and in some respects, without the support that someone like myself might have given. On the night before that was going to happen, he had a meal. And when he had given thanks to the meal, and I'm sure he didn't just say thank you for the meal. I'm sure he said thank you been able to love and for those who would receive his love. And he had a meal, and after giving thanks, and then he broke the bread that was there. And he said, "This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you." Which is broken for you. After the same manner, also he took a cup. Shed for the forgiveness of all of our sins. I responded, you have responded, by receiving this in remembrance. Story. And as you come forward, or at least it's taken to you, it is an invitation to be a part of the story that tells you how incredibly much God loves you. I welcome you to that story. Let us pray. God, wow, thanks for your love. Thanks for making us a part of your story. And for your body and blood, which we come now to take. In Jesus' name.